Thank you for tuning into the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope, a United Methodist community. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We serve the Elgin, Illinois area and are located at the corner of Randall Road and Highland. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, here is this week's message.
This morning's Old Testament lesson is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But I continue to show my love to thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses my name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving to you." This morning's gospel lesson is taken from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you have chosen to nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word.
Nearly everyone has heard of the Ten Commandments, the list of thou shalt nots found in the Bible. Jesus saw in these commandments not onerous burdens, but guardrails and guideposts designed to help us experience the good and beautiful life. Words that set safe boundaries, create order out of chaos, help communities live peacefully, and protect us, often from ourselves. Every thou shalt not was intended to point to a life-giving, thou shalt. These ancient words were given by a loving God who longed to protect us from harm while pointing toward the keys to a deeply meaningful and joyful life. Words of Life, reading the Ten Commandments through the eyes of Jesus.
So we gather together again to listen for the Word of God and how it can apply to our lives today. And so I encourage you to have your bulletins handy. In your bulletins, there are scripture passages and questions to reflect on throughout the week. And it also has lines for you to jot some notes down so that when it comes time that the Spirit speaks to you, because I know that the Spirit will speak this morning, that you write those down because you want to remember those, especially if you're like me and have a tendency to forget them after a certain amount of time. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we come looking for your message, to hear your message with this topic of the Ten Commandments. And so God, I ask that the words that I speak would no longer be my own, but that they would be your words for your people. Message for all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are in our third week of our Lenten worship series based on the Ten Commandments, our Words of Life worship series that takes this list of laws and shifts the focus to seeing them through the eyes of Jesus. Remember that behind each thou shalt not is a greater thou shall. See, these are not just a list of laws to follow because God said so. We follow them because we experience a deeper relationship with God when we do. And that's what we want. And we also desire deeper relationships with others. I want to keep reminding you that the Ten Commandments can be broken up into two categories, two different groups. 1 through 4, if you remember, no other gods, make no idols, don't use the Lord's name in vain, and remembering the Sabbath. Focus on our relationship with God, this vertical relationship. In essence, asking us to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And then 5 through 10, where we begin today, turn our focus to the relationship that we have each other, that horizontal relationship that we've talked about. They help us live in harmony with others, in effect, asking us to love our neighbor as ourselves. So let's begin to examine the relationships that we have with each other and how this next grouping of commands can help us along our journey of hope. Exodus 20, verse 12 tells us, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Now, I guess the question becomes, how do we honor our parents? What does it actually mean? I mean, at first, we might feel that this means that we should obey them. I mean, we can look through Scripture and find other passages like this. You remember some of these. Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And Proverbs 1:8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Earlier in this series, we were talking about rules, and more specifically, unwritten rules that we would follow. I mentioned that growing up, we had an unwritten rule in our family that you didn't wake up Dad. That was the rule. You see, he worked third shift and would come home in the morning only to sleep through most of the day, waking up in the afternoon. During the summer, it was so hard to keep quiet, but we did our best. Thankfully, the swimming pool was in the back of the house, while Mom and Dad's bedroom was in the front of the house. Well, one day we had, of course, if you remember, I told you that there was a much longer story, and that particular Sunday I didn't want to share it. So here is this glimpse of this story. One day we had a few of the neighborhood kids over to swim, and we were having a great time. But one of the things we liked to do as young and naive, sometimes stupid kids, was to look for ways to jump into the pool. Because it wasn't just fun to just jump off the deck into the pool. We had to find other ways. Well, it just so happens on the back of the house, there was a porch. And above the porch was a roof. Yeah, you know where I'm going. The pool was right next to the porch, so we thought, hey, wouldn't it be fun to jump off the porch roof into the pool? Well, we'd have to climb up the handrail, which got us high enough to grab a hold of the roof and pull ourselves up. Well, once on top, we could see the pool, which, by the way, was only 4 feet deep. In our elementary educated minds, we calculated the distance we would need to jump in order to make it into the pool. We needed to jump far enough to land into the pool, but not too far because we needed to be under that primary power line that fed the house. Okay, that was never actually the problem of this story. However, the problem came when my little brother tried to climb up on the roof. His hand slipped off the roof, and as it came down, he caught a plant hook. Yeah. Needless to say, gave himself a pretty good cut, one that we didn't know what to do with. So what do you do in times like these? You call Grandma, right? So we called Grandma, and she did. She came over, took care of my brother, took him to the hospital to get stitches. Well, then they returned, and she asked, "Where is your father?" And our response, probably naive at the time, "He's sleeping." Remember, you don't wake Dad. Even in the presence of almost certain death. Well, at least that's what our little minds told us. Obey your parents. How many times have we tried to use Scripture to persuade our kids of the reasons that they need to obey us? Was this ever used on you while you were growing up? See, as we have seen over the series, there seems to be much more that resides just below the surface. There's a deeper meaning here that we need to understand. And I have to say that this is one that's been weighing pretty heavily on my heart. I think we all try to be the best parents. The best parents that we can. We want to raise our kids right, teach them the lessons that will help them through life as they travel. But we all, from time to time, question our effectiveness. Did we do what we could? Are the lessons we taught, whether spoken or just witnessed through our actions, ones that we want to teach? But I think we need to be fully aware that sometimes kids grow up with parents who are not following good moral living. It doesn't take long to be able to hear from people who grow up with abusive parents, physical, emotional, spiritual damage that had been done. So when we call up this commandment, we've got to realize that this is not going to be easy for some. To be completely honest, some parents shouldn't be honored. And this breaks my heart. Because this is not the design that God has for our relationships, especially the ones that brought us into the world. I've heard too many stories of families like this. My heart just wants to reach out and just make it all better. I want to be able to share the good news of forgiveness and redemption. But I know it will take time, and it will only happen if the grace of God is involved. And so if you are one of those who experienced childhood this way, let me first tell you how sorry I am that you had to go through that. But let me also tell you that when we hear these words this morning about honoring our parents, if the relationship has not been redeemed and there's no chance for it, then God understands. God does not want us to be in situations that are not life-giving. Adam Hamilton says it this way in his book. He says, "The command to honor parents is not a requirement to continue to be abused by someone who acts in ways that are inconsistent with legitimate and a loving parent." God loves you, and so do I. And I'm sure there are so many around you that love you as well. I mean, I feel like if you're carrying this burden that you are, that we can talk. But also know that it might require further help. God longs for you to have this abundant life. That's the promise that Jesus gives. So if honoring your parents doesn't necessarily mean obeying them, what does it mean? What does this passage mean for us? And so if you're following along in the book with us, you'll know that Adam Hamilton talks about the Hebrew word for honor, which is kavod. It means to consider weighty or heavy. We should treat our relationships with our parents as heavy, or maybe of having significance, having weighty relationships. When we see this commandment in this light, it shifts our thoughts from being young kids and obeying to when we are a little older and when we're caring for our parents. I guess this makes sense when you look at the culture of the Israelites. They could only work so long before age caught up with them. Then what would they do? They didn't have 401ks, Social Security, or anything else to help them when they so-called retired. So what did they do? Well, they relied on family. In the Disney film Lilo and Stitch, they talk about the Hawaiian concept of ohana. Ohana means family. And family means no one gets left behind. That means that as our parents and our grandparents age, we don't leave them behind. We honor them. In other words, we care for them, treat them with respect, and provide for them when they need us the most. And thinking about this understanding of the command to honor our parents, I was reflecting on where I have seen this in my lifetime. It's all around us. It really is. I see it when Jay Faisal's daughter brings him in for a visit, or back then at time when she brought both Jay and Ann for parking lot communion. She cares for him, taking him places that he needs to go and always watching out for him. I think of Carlene and Dave when they would bring Arlene to worship, caring for her, looking out for her best interests. I think of the many years that Sherry's sister Melody would take care of their mother. And of course, Sherry and Melody and the other sisters and brother, when they could, they would look after their mom, loving her, cooking, cleaning, helping with mobility, even arguing when mom didn't agree with treatment. They were honoring her through their actions. This is also a witness to others as we remember that golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We hope and pray that the witness that is provided in this care provides a glimpse of how we hope that our kids will one day take care of us. Where have you seen this honoring take place in your life? Who have you honored? We need to know, though, that there's also more. We're called in this commandment to honor our parents and grandparents, but what about those that don't have any? What about those whose parents or grandparents have already passed away? I think we honor them by how we remember them, by how we talk about them, how we represent them in our lives. This means that our lives are a reflection of theirs. We are connected through family, and their legacy is lived through us. I think we all know someone who might be the black sheep of the family, the outcast, the one no one really wants to talk to. Maybe you have one in your family, or maybe you know someone from another family. What's the phrase? If you're trying to find the black sheep of the family and you can't find one, okay, you know where that is. Is their life a true witness or representation of the family? I hope not. But let's expand the circle even a little more, shall we? We see in Scripture where God has a special place in his heart for the orphans and the widows. These would be people who don't have anyone to take care of them. There's no child to take care of the parent. There's no parent to take care of the child. So how can we see this command applied in those situations? I guess we can see this through adoptions and fostering. There's a clergy friend of mine who, with his wife, has adopted a family of kids. One child suffers from shaken baby syndrome and has been in and out of the hospital far too many times. Their fostering this family of kids has turned into a full adoption just a few years ago. This is honoring the parent-child relationship. Another way we see this is through the care of the elderly. Even if they're not part of your quote-unquote family, this may be taking members of your church family to doctor's appointments or even to worship services. It's calling them, taking them meals, and the many other ways of showing them that the relationship you share is an honoring one, a considering of that relationship to be weighty or heavy. Many of you know that my oldest daughter, Stephanie, is a social worker who works with the elderly through elder care services in DeKalb. She visits, does assessments, and cares for those who can in some ways no longer care for themselves. I remember when there was a time when she didn't know what she really wanted to do. Now, by this, I really mean that she knew she wanted to be in social work, but she didn't know if she wanted to work with little kids or the elderly. I think it all started to set in when she worked at a job at a nursing home in Rockford. She was the receptionist at the front desk. And while her job duties were answering the phones and handling some of the business of the nursing home, her favorite part of the job came when she was able to interact with the residents. She built relationships with them and loved them for who they were. She listened to their stories and offered her own words of comfort when needed. However, it was incredibly hard when she would lose someone from the home. She became connected in her emotional caring for them. They were almost becoming another grandparent to her. There was one particular gentleman that I remember. His name was Don. He would come to the front desk almost every time she worked. He just wanted to talk. He wanted to build this relationship. He told her about his life and his family. And he even asked her about hers. When he asked about her parents, she would tell him about her mom and me. And of course, he found out I was going to school to become a pastor, and he just had to meet me. Don was not a religious man. He wasn't sure about many things, but he wanted to talk to me. I met Don at the front desk. I mean, it only seemed appropriate. We talked for a while, and then I left, not knowing if the conversation meant anything to him or not. It wasn't long after when Stephanie called to tell me that Don had passed. His service would not be very big, and it would just be in the little chapel of the nursing home, but there was a request. He wanted me to do his service. He had talked to the few that were left in his family and told them about this special young woman in his life whose father was becoming a pastor. And because he had built this relationship with her, and because she honored him enough to introduce him to the love of God, he had chosen this for his funeral service. You see, honoring our parents comes in many forms. Sure, we should obey them, but there's so much more if we just scratch the surface. God's desire is for us to take care of each other, especially when others are in need. The questions that come our way this morning is, who is God calling you to care for today? How can you honor your parents and grandparents, whether they are still with us on this earth or not? Jesus has words for us today. Once again, these are the words that Adam Hamilton has written down at the end of each chapter. And so, I want us to open our hearts and hear Jesus again this morning. And I want to ask you to do the same thing that I asked you last week. If you would just close your eyes in an attitude of prayer and listen for Jesus' voice this morning. You are my hands, my feet, my voice. In this commandment, my Father is calling you to care not only for your parents and grandparents, your aunts and uncles, but also for older adults who have no one else. He's calling you to visit, to call, to encourage and bless them. You are the means by which I care for the elderly. Honor them. Consider them weighty. Treat them with respect, and you will find the blessings you've extended will come back to you. Gracious and almighty God, we hear your words. We hear you speak to us this morning. And we hear the call to care. To care for not only our grandparents and our parents and other members of our family, but God, all of those in our church family and in our community, to honor them. And so God, give us the strength. Give us the wisdom to know exactly what you are asking us to do. Love us, care for us, especially as we reach out to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
The prophet soon turned strangely thin.
As we go forth from this place this morning, may we go forth knowing that we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, and that means to love and to care for our parents, our grandparents, the elderly. Care for all of those who can't care for themselves. This is what God is asking. This is why He is calling us to be His hands and feet. And so go with that knowledge, but go also with the knowledge that the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with you. And it goes with you always. Amen.